What is the difference between a sign and a symbol? What does a symbol do? It represents something that it isn't itself, right? It's not necessarily what it represents. It points to something or represents something. Well, then what's a sign? Go on. Anyone? No one? You can't figure out you've never seen a sign in your life? Come on, people. Wake up. I know it's 11. It's almost midday. Come on. It points to something, right? It shows you, it points to something that it itself is not. So the sign that says San Francisco 25 miles away, it isn't San Francisco. The sign itself isn't, but it's pointing the way to San Francisco. The symbol represents something that is pointing to, but doesn't actually point to it. It just represents it. So you might have a dove. It doesn't point to something. It just represents it. So a symbol and sign are different. So then, what's a miracle? I should have done this at 6 p.m. Mass when people were actually awake. I understand this is a tough start to the day, but what's a miracle? A miracle is a manifestation of what? Of God's praise? Yeah. Grace. God's grace. So it's something extraordinary, right? A miracle we tend to think of is a breaking in of God's extraordinary grace into the world. Now, the reason why I say that and the distinction is important because you can't understand this gospel without making a clear distinction between those three things. Because John, the author of this gospel, the evangelist John, does not call this a miracle. He does not call it a miracle. He calls it a sign. That is the first of seven signs in John's gospel, and there are only seven. There are seven signs in John's gospel, the first of the seven, and so therefore we must recognize that there's something important here because this is the first and primordial sign of what Jesus is going to do. So then what does it say? What is this sign? What happened? First of all, we get this water is transformed into wine. Okay, so let's unpack the gospel a little bit because it's important to get this because this sets up the whole of John's gospel for the rest of the year for us if we listen attentively to it. So what happens here is Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, hey, there's no wine. He goes, oh, what problem? That's not my problem. Why is your concern mine? Which seems like a real rebuff to his mother. But what does she say? She doesn't battle him. She just simply says to the waiters, do whatever he tells you to do. Now remember that line because we're going to come back to it. Do whatever he tells you. Then they go on, we hear the story, and then this water, the ceremonial wine. Let's just understand how much water he converted into wine. Let's just get the scope of it here. 6 stone jars, 180 gallons, right, has been converted into wine. Just to put that in a way, that's 600 liters, or just better still, 800 bottles of wine. Now, I don't know what party you've been at recently, but that's a lot of wine, right? So you just have to understand that this is an extravagance, an abundance of gift, and it's deliberate. John does nothing that isn't deliberate. He does everything deliberate. So there's an abundance. He is touched, and he sends an abundance of grace. Now, what does the water and wine represent? So then we have to go back to what does the symbol of marriage represent? So now comes the symbol. Right, the symbol of marriage in ancient Jewish tradition is the marriage between God and his people was the espoused. God was the bridegroom and the church, the Jewish people were the bride. And so we still hold that image today. The bridegroom and the church is the bride. Now understand what Mary's role now becomes important. Mary comes in and sees no wine. Wine is a symbol of joy. Right? These are ancient symbols in the church's understanding. So Mary comes into the wedding and there is no wine. There is no joy in a wedding. Now, I don't know when the last time you were at a wedding was, but that's the one place you can pretty much guarantee you're always going to have joy. Wouldn't you? No, you haven't been at a wedding recently? Really? You got like, Have I lost you? You seem to be confused. But here's the part. So Mary comes in, there is no joy, and she says, hang on a second, this relationship needs joy. So what they weren't talking about the wedding, remember, it's all double layers. You're seeing it on one level. The layer that we're meant to see that is the relationship with the church and with God has lost its joy. Jesus, it's time to bring the joy. And what does Jesus do? He gives all the abundance of joy. That's the message of today's gospel. Now let's apply it to ourselves. Do we have a joy in the relationship with Jesus Christ? I mean, one could suggest that we sometimes lack a little bit of joy in our relationship with the church and with Jesus Christ. Well, you're not exactly super excited in answering all my questions. You're like, lunch is coming up soon. Now, I'm not trying to just gather your own temple today, but how on fire are we with our relationship with Jesus? How important is it? How joyful am I because I receive the body and the blood of Christ when I come to the church? How on fire do I leave here each Sunday? Because if we're not leaving here on fire, then something hasn't happened. We know that Jesus gives himself to us every week. The question is, have we received it? Do we allow him to transform us from the water and the dullness of life into the joy of a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's our challenge. That's our call. And because we know that's such hard work, that it's so hard to always live in a joyful way in the relationship, even human relationships are hard to always live joyfully. We have to give it a little bit of zest. Well, what's that zest is coming to the table. Now, we're going to baptize a child into church, and we're meant to witness to the joy. We're meant to be on fire. I mean, sometimes I love if we could just get a little bit Pentecostal every now and then. Praise Jesus. Amen. But I can see that's outside your comfort zone. So I'll just settle for amen when you're meant to say amen. And then you get participate in the singing when we actually get there. That's just a show of that we're actually trying. But the real rubber hits the road is when we walk out of here. That we walk out of here on fire with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Convinced that Jesus is not just real in a theory, but is real today in my life. And I'm going to live like Jesus Christ. That I'm going to be like Jesus Christ today. And that's what we're meant to do. And when we try that, and when we work that out, that does bring us joy, even if we don't always succeed. Why? Because the joy of the gospel comes from knowing that we are first loved and that we pass that love on. So today we come to not the wedding feast of Cana, but we come to the feast, the banquet feast that Christ gives us every single Sunday. And we come to renew and to be transformed by Christ's love for us and to be that love in the world. That is what we witness to when we baptize this child in a moment.